You know, we've all got a message to share, and sometimes the message that we want to share is not always the message that comes across. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. I was thinking of the notice that was seen in the window of one bargain basement shop, for instance, and it said this: don't go to another shop to be cheated, come in here. I'm not quite sure they were getting across the message they intended. Or I thought about the promise that was once given by a well-known furniture outlet declaring, "We stand behind every bed we sell." That might be a bit of a shock to some people's system. But there's one that I saw on the internet this week which amused me. Anyone caught exiting through this door will be asked to leave. I'm not sure what the sense is in that. But sometimes the message that you want to get across is not the message that you are getting over. And of course, even churches can get their wires crossed sometimes at this point, as this little church here in America illustrates. Now, I am sure that Little Hope is a lovely place. I'm sure it's a lovely place to live and a lovely place to play. But maybe the local Baptist church there ought to get together and think, you know, maybe we can come up with a better name that better reflects the good news that we have to share. It'd be a little bit off-putting, wouldn't it, going to a church where there's little hope. But there you go. Not only that, I thought of some of these church notice boards. I'm not quite sure they're getting across what they want to get across. The sermon is on hell. Well, you can read it, can't you? And what about this one? Don't let worries kill you, let the church help. And it just teaches you a lesson in punctuation, if nothing else. I love this one in particular. We love hurting people. You see, what we say and what we want to get across can sometimes be two entirely different things. But this morning, there's no doubting the message in the touch that Jesus gives the man with the leprosy, who comes to him here in the message and the reading that we've just had from Jill on this Leprosy Sunday, begging him to be clean. We can't miss the message. It was a touch of hope and healing. It is a touch of life and love. It is a touch of care and compassion. Jesus was always hands on, and his hands were always on the mark when it came to his touch. You think of the little children who knew the tenderness of his touch. You think of the sick who responded to the power of his touch. You think of those with fevered brows who felt the coolness of his hands. And even the dead lived at the touch of those hands. But the real story in what we've read today is not that Jesus healed the man with leprosy. That's big, that's important. That proves his credentials to be the God of heaven come to us. But the real message here is that Jesus touched the man with leprosy, a man that nobody else would touch. That's the measure of our Saviour. That's the touch that transforms. And it was a touch that stood out as much as the healing, because as Mark makes clear in his version of the same story, Jesus was filled with compassion. As much as this man was covered with leprosy, Jesus was filled with compassion. And so we see that before Jesus touched the man with leprosy and healed him, the man with leprosy had touched the very heart of Jesus and captured him. Isn't that a marvelous thing? And so, with a little thought to treasure as we go through this story together, let's understand that the touch that transforms basically is telling us this morning we cannot touch anyone with the love of God in their need until first they've touched our heart with their need. That's why when you look at the little DVD that we've just seen at Perulia there and the leprosy hospital, you know, when that touches your heart and you're filled with compassion, Everything within you cries, I've got to do something, because I can't leave it at nothing. That's what Jesus sensed when this man with leprosy came to him, filled with compassion. I can't leave him. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to bring a change about in his life that everyone else will be able to see. You see, touch is much more, isn't it, than simply putting your hand on someone. Touch is saying, I care. And that whatever is happening or whoever it may be happening to, when you look at it and you see it, it tears your own heart apart. We might say, for instance, that a certain song touched us. Or we might say a particular need touched us. Or we might say we felt touched by someone. But what we mean when we say that is that our emotions have been stirred, not that our body has been assaulted. A good friend of mine posted on Facebook this week that after months of practice, he could finally touch his toes. And then he'd added in brackets by telling them that they're beautiful. Now, to me, that's a lovely way to touch your toes, isn't it? Just tell them they're beautiful and how much they mean to you. You know, because that's what the word touch designates. It arouses a person's sensitivity and sympathy and provokes that feeling, as we see in the Lord Jesus here, of genuine compassion. And we can't touch anyone with the love of God in their need until first they've touched our heart with their need. Isn't that true? We got a God who wants to touch, who comes to meet the need of our hearts and situations, as we're going to see in a few moments as we share the bread and the wine. But let's just talk about this story and underline the significance of that touch in three simple phrases. First, I'm going to suggest here's a story where the tale transcends what is actually going on here in what happened itself. Jesus was in this unnamed town in verse 12, where we're told a man came along covered with leprosy. What I mean is, when I say this tale transcends, is because just as the term leprosy itself in Jesus' day was a term that was used for any number of particular skin infections, like psoriasis or lupus or ringworm, even leprosy itself, which I think is called Hansen's disease today, so too the message transcends the actual condition, because the condition speaks of the isolation, of the discrimination, of the prejudice, of the handicaps that every age has, which makes social outcasts of certain people, be that for physical illness, or for national origin, or for religious beliefs. And it's horrible, isn't it? To feel that you don't fit in where you want to belong. That's the tale that transcends what is happening here. Because I don't know if you've ever felt it, but it's a horrible place to be where you don't feel that you're wanted and where you don't feel that you're welcome. Isn't it? You ever felt like that? I reckon that most of you have, where your contribution is not required, where there's no place on the team for you, where you have a passport, but you haven't got a true identity. Not easy, is it? I remember, I've done it many times, I suspect you come out the dentist and you're a bit numbed up. You ever had that experience? You know, your tongue's about three times the size as it normally is. And it's a little bit unnerving, isn't it? Not only because you look a complete idiot when you try and drink something, but you sound like a complete idiot when you try and say something. And it's a little bit unnerving when you're numbed up physically. But what about emotionally? When you're numbed up, when you've been hurt, when you've been wounded, when you're struggling with something that you can't get any kind of handle on, isn't that just as unnerving? What about when we're spiritually numb? When we know that the walk that we've had with the Lord in the past is much, much better than the walk that we enjoy with the Lord now. And that even when we hear things like we've heard this morning, you know, we're so numb and spiritually callous that we can't really take to our own hearts the burden for what God's putting before us. It's not an easy place to be. But it's the tale that transcends all that's taking place here. I haven't got time this morning, you know, to unpick all the whys and wherefores of that. All I want to do is simply point out that few had more reason to be numb than the man with leprosy in his situation here, whose diagnosis and forced isolationism had left him numb all over his body. And it wasn't just his own body that was cutting him off, as he was less and less able to feel pain and then more and more open to infection. But leprosy had the added ignominy of separation from society due to that kind of disease. And that's a horrible, horrible place to be in. And though the Bible, if you know it well, gives good guidelines as to important care that needs to be given to make sure that infection does not spread, Josephus, the Jewish historian who wrote at the time of the Lord Jesus, you know, reminds us that what God gave to be lovingly applied to those with leprosy had now been misapplied so disgracefully. He says, at his time, lepers were treated by law as if they were no more than dead people walking. Isn't that horrible? And with no hope of ever being welcomed back into society. Is it any wonder that in the Bible, leprosy more than anything else is given to us as a picture of sin because of its infectious nature, because of the way that it spoils and spreads and separates? Everything sin does, leprosy was to this man. That's why it transcends. It transcends nations because anyone from anywhere can have it. We're all sinners. It transcends circumstances because it can hit both rich and poor. It transcends time because it affects both young and old. It transcends creeds as people of all faiths and none cannot deny it. But mainly, we really ought to know that it transcends the very disease itself because it pictures the spread of sin that we're all born and contaminated with. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we're not told that to make us feel hopeless, because our God is not a God who wants to isolate us and condemn us. We're told that to give us hope, because our God has come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus to extend his hand and to touch us in our need and to deal with it. Hallelujah. That's why the table spread, because we remember his goodness and his grace to us, that he comes to deal with what we struggle with. And if we've been on the receiving end of what he's blessed us with, ought not that to encourage us to give the help and support that other people in need really have? Isn't that the kind of God that we want to serve? And isn't it that kind of spirit that we want to emulate? People that are filled with compassion. People that are prepared to get hands on and get involved and to reach out and touch others in the name of Jesus, because these are the hands that are his hands in my workplace, by that hospital bed. These are the feet that take me to meet the person who feels isolated. They can't come to me, so I'm going to go to them. This is the heart that wants to love them in Jesus' name, because his heart is a heart that loves them unconditionally and sacrificially. So whatever it costs me to do it, to reach them, is what I'm here to do. Because in him, I love them. I may not like everything that they do and everything that they stand for, but I love them. And there's nobody untouchable when you know that God in Christ has touched you. So secondly, let's take that tale that transcends to the next point, which is above and beyond it, to the touch that informs. I put a few things on there about the dentist. We'll get past that. You don't want to be stuck on a dentist today, do you? Look at the touch that transforms. You know, it's not just that Jesus met this man, or that Jesus lets him bring his heartfelt request to him. Isn't it wonderful? If you're willing, you can make me clean. The Lord is willing. We got a God who's willing. But that Jesus not only didn't keep his distance, which by rights he was able to do in order to stay clean and safe himself, but that we're actually told here, look at it, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He said, I am willing. He said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. You know, Jesus could have healed this man from a distance. He healed other people from a distance. But he preferred to touch this man because he was seen as untouchable. And he wanted the folks there to recognize that he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to meet the need that's there right in front of him. Maybe some of you this morning, you know, whatever your need is. Maybe in your isolation. Maybe in your struggle. Maybe in your doubts. You think, what on earth can I do about it? Well, you can come and you can be honest before the Lord Jesus and say, if you're willing, I need help. And you'll find that God is never more willing to help you when you're willing to receive his help. Anything else is pride. And that holds us back. What is it that you think you've done that he won't forgive? What is it that you think that you're like that he can't love? What is it that you think you've got a problem with that he won't help? Our Lord's touch is a transforming touch. It makes all the difference in the world. I was reading again a biography on Dwight Moody, one of my heroes of the faith. And in his biography, there's a lovely story told of a man who came to him on one occasion. And he felt that his life was so messed up. He felt that what he'd done was so unforgivable that there's no way in the world that the Lord would be willing to forgive him. And Moody quoted that lovely verse. He quoted it, obviously, in the King James Version, because that was the one of the day. Whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out. We understand it from the NIV to say, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And you know what the man said to Moody? He said, listen, he said, if you knew me, he said, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drunkard. And Moody said, yeah, but the promise is whoever comes to me who is not a drunkard or an alcoholic, I will never drive away. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Whoever comes to me. And the man said, well, yes, but you ought to know the way that I treat my wife and my family. And Moody reminded him, yeah, but the promise is whoever comes to me. Not how he treats his wife and family, I will in no way cast aside. That's the promise. He said, but I've stolen, I've been in jail. And Moody reminded him, whoever comes to me. It's not that whoever's come to me, you know, but hasn't been in jail or stolen. But whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And that covers you without exception, does it not? And the touch of the Master, the transformation that he brings, is simply when we come and he's willing to meet us. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Doesn't that bowl you over to know that God is like that? So what gives me the right to judge anybody else when God could judge me? But rather would come, and in that touch of nails upon his hand and spear upon his side, take the punishment that my sin deserved, so he could set me free to live the life that I want to express in him. Isn't that a marvelous touch? It's a personal touch there, isn't it? Jesus touched this man with leprosy, demonstrated that for him, he mattered. Because we always sing it's for somebody else, don't we? We come to church, oh, Sean gave a great message today. So glad so-and-so was here to hear it. We're always good at spotting God's message for somebody else. Wives are particularly good at doing that, I've noticed. But it's true. He touched with a powerful touch. Did you notice it was immediate, the healing? Immediately Jesus touched him, the leprosy leaves him. Isn't that the power of our Lord's touch? He touches a Simon who's fearful, and suddenly you've got a Peter who's faithful. Where did that come from? Transforming touch. He touches a Jacob who's a cheater, and he becomes Israel, the Prince of God. Where'd that come from? He touches Paul, the one who is the killer of Christians and now becomes a Christian. He touches me a would-be policeman and punisher of those who break the law, become a preacher to lawbreakers of God's grace. It's his touch, and it transforms. Whoever we are, because it's personal. Whatever our need, because it's powerful. But it's perfectly suited to us. Amen? Amen. Take it to heart. This table before us is an open table, and you can come, and you can eat, and you can drink. If you've known the touch of Jesus on your life to cleanse and heal and forgive and restore from the leprosy of sin, and brought back into right relationship with God. And folks, if you haven't felt that, can I be a messenger of good news this morning and say that you can feel that and you can know that? And maybe this morning, for the first time, you can eat and drink because you're remembering what Christ has done for you. Just come and ask him. Lord, are you willing? Are you willing? Do you know what I'm like? Have you seen these spots? Do you know that nobody else will ever come near to me because of what I say and do or don't do and don't say? I'm here. I'm willing. Are you willing? And he says, I am. And he does. I don't know. Maybe yours is a physical infirmity you struggle with. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a relationship that you'd love to have, but it's gone hopelessly wrong and it drains you. Maybe it's a work situation that feels impossible. Maybe you feel that your life has got nothing to offer and it's not worth living. How sad that we find people there. I don't know. But never think that you've gone too far from where the grace of God can reach out and touch you. He is here to bless you with his touch. It's a tale that transcends. It speaks to all who feel their sense of isolation. It's a touch that transforms. It ministers to all who come to Jesus for it. And very quickly, as we come to the table, and lastly, it's a testimony that transpires, because it changes everyone who knows their need and comes and asks the Lord Jesus to meet it. See, after the man was healed, and we're not told, but I mean, you know, and I'm not a betting man, but if I was a betting man, I think this guy would have just fallen into the arms of Jesus, wouldn't you? Or fallen on his knees before Jesus. And then Jesus tells him, don't tell anyone. I mean, don't tell anyone. That's like me telling my grandchildren not to tell Nanny about something that I've done. Nothing's going to stop them. Nothing's going to stop them. Not if they can get Grandad in trouble, that's for sure. Now, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices, just as the law of Moses commanded, for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So there was an elaborate religious process that this man had to go through to verify that he had been healed. He had to be examined by the priest and go through a series of washings and offerings for 8 days. And Jesus said he needed to do this as a testimony to them. Them being the priests and teachers of the law who doubted that Jesus was who he said he was. And Peter declared him to be later Christ, the Son of the living God. So by going to them, the man is telling them that not only has he been truly healed, and not only that Jesus doesn't oppose the law, as they suppose that he did, but actually came as he promised to fulfill it and all its true purpose, but even more, he's giving testimony to all of the dramatic difference that Jesus makes in any life that comes to him. Because when you've seen what Christ can do, when you felt his touch upon your life, however hard you try to hide it, however much you want not to say anything about it, you can't help it. It's right, isn't it? It just cannot be hidden. It just comes out the way you are, because the way you are now is the way he is in you by his Spirit. His life overflowing out. And that's the testimony again as we come to the table, isn't it? Look at the change that God has brought about in me. Is it down to my goodness? No. Is it down to my warm personality? No. Is it down to my good looks? Obviously not. It's down to the grace of the living God, who transcends every situation to reach us where we are, transforms us, to give us a testimony that's living and vibrant, and that in the change it brings about in us, God willing, can even effect change in others. That's why in 2 weeks' time, Andrea's going to be baptized here, as a testimony to God's grace in her life. Maybe there's one or two others who've not yet been baptized. Well, the opportunity is there because you're sharing testimony, not of how good you are, but of how good God is and all that he's done for you. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing, because when you know it, you'll share it. I'll finish with this. Did you know that as recently as 170 years ago, the finest hospitals in this country and around the world were losing 1 out of 6 women after childbirth to what they called at the time childbed fever. And why? Why would that happen? Because doctors didn't wash their hands at the time. And so therefore their touch carried infection. And some of you know, because you know, you've probably studied this at school, but it was that Hungarian doctor, wasn't it? Ignaz Semmelweis, who first linked doctors not washing their hands to the infection that ended up resulting in the lives of those that were in hospital, so often dying. He washed his own hands with a chlorine solution before examining expectant mothers, and after 11 years of practice, his death rate was not 1 in 6, but 1 in 50. That's a tremendous difference, isn't it? Marvellous. And you think the intelligentsia, and you think the medical profession would be falling over themselves to bless the guy for coming up with a simple solution. Wash your hands. But no, they argued against him, right to the very end of his life. And because of all the efforts to try and get them on side, he ended up going insane and died at 47, with people still laughing about his silly suggestion. It seems almost incredible, doesn't it, that that could happen, and yet there is the most obvious spiritual parallel that we can't fail to get the message on. That all of us, me, you, all of us are sinners who are spiritually defiled, caked with years of filthiness that Jesus Christ came to clean through his death and resurrection. But do we listen? Does everybody turn to the one alone who can transform them and give them life that is not only for the here and now to God's best for them, but forever with him for them? No. Because sometimes we think the message that's being shared is actually not true. How did they come to discover that Semmelweis was right? Because they looked and eventually saw under the microscope the bacteria that caused the infection. How do we come to the place where we know that we're less than we ought to be before God? Because a preacher can pump the pulpit and challenge us? No. Because the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us and convicts us with our sin and points us to the Saviour, who is willing to clean us from all unrighteousness and get us back on track with God. Isn't that marvellous? I'm not telling anybody this morning that they're filthy or a sinner as a judgment. I look at my own heart and I know it's true, but I thank God that he touched me. He touched me. And all that robbed me of life has been given back to me. And I'm here to eat bread and drink wine with you this morning as a testimony to what is possible when we bring our situation and our need and our life to the Lord Jesus, who is never put off by it, but comes forward and says, "I'll touch you, I'll heal you, I'll save you, and your life will show it. Amen? Let's bow our heads just in a quiet prayer. I'm very conscious this morning because it's not an easy thing to talk about. I know that. But I am conscious that, you know, many of us here, we've not got leprosy. But we've got something that's eaten away at us. We've got something that spoils us. We've got something that burdens us. We've got something that almost is tempted to destroy our faith. And I just pray this morning, just in this quiet, that as we ready ourselves to eat and to drink, that we'll confess that to the Lord and we'll simply beg him to touch us afresh and to cleanse us from anything that might spoil the experience of remembering him this morning. So just in that quiet, if there's anything at all that you need the Lord to touch and transform, ask him. Lord, you who touched the leper and made him clean, touch our lives and cleanse us, that we won't want to sin, we'll simply now delight to serve. And we ask it in your precious name. Amen.